this guy was a food critic and Sue is, you know, a comedian. And they did a show called Supersizers, which is awesome, where they live their lives for a week at a time in different eras. Like, they're living now, but, like, as though they were in this era. So they only dress like that and eat like that and, like, do the activities, right?
Did you think that we would think that they weren't living now? Why did you clarify that part?
They invented a time machine.
Yeah,
you kind of buried the lead on that one. If so,
yeah. But it's really great.
Do you know that feeling when everyone is talking about a movie that you haven't seen? Have you ever felt compelled to make some vague comments just so you can join in the conversation? Well, what if you were in too deep? Do you think you could convince everyone that you'd seen it? Or do you think your version would be so much better that no one would care? Here at Faking Movies, we're always the ones who haven't seen the movie.
Anything you can do, I can do better. I can do anything better than you.
Oh, you can.
Yes, I can.
Oh, you can.
Yes, I can.
Oh, you can.
Yes, I can. Yes, I can.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Faking Movies. I don't care how weirdly whispery ASMR that my co-host did the count in, because I'm not editing this episode, so it doesn't matter.
I thought you were editing this one.
I'm pretty sure it's yours, bud.
It's yours, Seth. Yeah.
Fuck.
Mouth sounds.
Oh, no. Oh, I should eat my dinner on mic and not before we started.
Why is this rice so wet?
It actually was kind of wet because, you know, it was brown rice and it was like, all right, we're calling it. It's absorbed.
Well, that's why it took so goddamn long.
Right.
Cook them like beans. Yeah.
Literally made refried beans and chicken tinga in the time it took to make brown rice. But
goddamn.
Well, the tinga was a reheat, but you know, Welcome back to Faking Movies. It's episode 270
Heaven. Yeah.
To Heaven to Heaven. All right.
Yeah. Seventh Heaven.
It's a heaven so nice we named it 200 times.
Oh, yeah. It sure is. Yep.
How so about that? What what kind of stuff we got to talk about? Because I got something if you guys don't have anything you want to talk about.
Endless succession of days before our eventual deaths.
Yeah, Seth is pretty existential dread today.
I mean, I don't think it's quite endless, and I am kind of welcoming it at this point. But
I mean, again, by 2055, we're going to be more robot than man, and then it'll be endless.
You think it's going to take that long?
Yeah.
I literally just said that same thing. I said, oh, give it 2 or 3 years, Elon will whip something up for sure.
Yeah, if we want to have shitty versions of it, sure. Yeah, that's the worst part, is we won't even get to enjoy being unkillable robots because we'll just be turned into robots as part of our contract with Amazon working in their fulfillment center. Like
The one company to rule them all after the end times? Yeah.
Yeah, it's like, sense. Oh, I guess I need somewhere to live and eat, and Amazon... Yeah. Is the only thing left, the closest thing to a government and social infrastructure.
Yep.
And they're going to turn me into a Terminator and I don't even get a gun? Like, come on.
Oh, man.
Yeah, but if Elon does the engineering, it's like the Cybertruck of Terminators. So, like, all of your panel gaps are going to be all fucking weird. And
so it'll be kind of funny. Yeah.
And you will decidedly not be bulletproof. That we know this for a fact.
Yeah, I did see the headline about the designers are begging people to stop shooting their cars. Like,
yeah, you'd think one would be plenty, but
why would they think that it was like a good idea? Did they market it as being bulletproof or something?
I think Elon said it one time, and then a guy threw a rock at it in the press conference thing, and it shattered the window. And so rocks travel typically slower than bullets. So yeah, I don't know.
Oh no, I don't know. Nolan Ryan throwing that rock.
Hey.
Well, maybe it's like in Dune where like you can't use projectiles because it has one of those shields that stops fast things. Listen, but not knives.
You know. I have very mixed feelings about Dune. That is the stupidest fuck part of a universe.
Oh, not a guy named Duncan Idaho? Whatever.
That's like third. The next one is the Butlerian Jihad. Like,
I do like the Butlerian Jihad. That's pretty fun. But
it's like
Duncan Idaho shows up
AI.
Like,
yeah, they keep fucking making him into what's it called? A
protagonist? Because
what's it called?
No, they have a term. For,
no,
it's not
there's
clone,
a
clone. There's a different
it's like
term.
It's like a pseudo zombie clone thing. Mm-hmm. It just shows they're like 500 iterations of him.
Yeah, they keep
the
bringing him back
over and over
again.
10,000 goddamn years.
Because mm-hmm. the God Emperor needs his grandfather's fight teacher.
Yeah.
Sure.
But he wasn't even the fight teacher.
No, that was
Gurney. Gurney Halleck was.
Yeah.
What's Duncan's fucking role?
Just
that. He's a guy.
Best friend?
I guess.
Did you guys Gurney's have read Dune? I thought no one actually read Dune.
Oh, yeah, I read Dune.
I read it. Oh. I read the second one, too, and the third, and then I got real bored. Jesus.
Partner of the show, my partner, has also read the second one. Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
She's been considering the third just because it's, you know, a trilogy capper, and then, of course, there's a second trilogy, and then Frank Herbert's son, Brian, has written endless.
Yeah. The fourth, fifth, and sixth books really go off the rails. Like,
it's a lot.
Oh, boy. It's a mess.
A lot of Golden Path bullshit.
The Golden Path. Yeah. Oh, I'm an omniscient worm man. I can see the entire future. Everybody needs to suffer for half a million years before it gets good again.
I have to have a selective breeding program until I can create an heir that I can't see their thoughts. Like,
I'm going to be made of a bunch of shrimp.
Basically.
I can't tell what's real anymore.
So
those are all things that happen.
Yeah. Strange. The thing I wanted to bring up is I was thinking about today how weird the movie Spice World is. Y'all see Spice World? Movie.
I mean,
comedian cadence. Your goddamn Dennis Miller. Y'all see Spice? You know Spice World?
I heard of this Spice World that's going around right now?
You know Airplane
Spice World.
Spice
Last
World?
Time I saw a shameless crash grab that big, it was when Oliver North got pardoned for his role in Iran-Contra.
Me, I forgot you do him really well. Cantra is a nice touch.
I couldn't remember the word for pardoned. Spice World's so fucking weird because there's like the story, and it's just the Spice Girls on the tour bus doing Hard Day's Night.
Is Alan Cummings there?
Sure. He is.
Yes, he is.
And critically. There's
one of the myriad C plots in which Alan Cumming is a documentarian with a documentary crew trying to show the Spice Girls in their real atmosphere, except they don't have any access to the Spice Girls, so they're doing it guerrilla style. And then also there's a B plot where Roger Moore is the Spice Girls manager's boss, who is like also a secret agent, and also their manager is Richard E. Grant. And there's a C plot where he's meeting with fucking two Hollywood writers played by George Wendt and Mark McKinney, who are pitching different ideas for a Spice Girls movie. And this is intercut throughout the movie until at one point their pitch becomes the actual movie that is happening.
Wow. That's a lot more going on in that movie than I
There's also an alien scene. Like, they meet aliens at one point.
Yeah, why not?
I wouldn't have been surprised if when you said B-plot, it was about Jerry Springer. Or Jerry Seinfeld.
Damn it.
You know,
I knew what you were going for.
Where a human fucks that bee? Yeah.
Yeah, right.
Do you like jazz? Yeah. So anyway, I was thinking about Spice World earlier.
Yeah, did you watch Spice World recently?
Not recently.
A surprising amount of memory of
I'd that say like
nothing movie.
3 years ago, maybe.
Wow. Okay. That's an impressive recall.
Yeah.
One might call it total.
Mm. I was hoping you were going to subvert it and do something funnier, but...
No, what I was should have done was had a different background set up with Mars, and I should have switched my background to Mars.
You know,
scientists
prepared,
say by 2019 we'll land on Mars. How will you prepare? That was the Space Camp commercial that I used to watch over and over again as a child.
Wow.
Yeah, but then there was the Reagan administration, and they kind of fucked it all.
These commercials were from the 90s. Like,
well, we weren't quite aware of how much they fucked us all yet.
That's true. Yeah. I don't know why I'm defending Reagan.
Yeah, you'll take all the bullets for sure. Yeah.
Speaking of
taking the bullets. Reagan, remember Reagan that time when he got things.
Shot? Nice.
I do.
You know, I did in the last days that I was on Twitter, I did enjoy John Hinckley's Twitter account. He does a lot of art. A lot of art therapy.
Yeah. Did he get out recently?
Yeah, he's no longer incarcerated. Yeah,
it's weird.
Yeah.
I gotta say, Reagan is just an absolute shitlord. But there's one very funny short video where, like, he's doing a presser and a car backfires, and literally instantaneously he goes, "You missed me," which, like, is a funny joke.
Yeah,
for him. But like,
it's kind of good. It's kind of good.
I know.
I love.
He's probably jazzed up on meth jelly beans or something.
Right.
Oh yeah. Yeah,
I do love Michael Showalter's Reagan on the Wet Hot American Summer TV shows, because they just have him in so much, like, padding that he can't really move.
Yeah, he's just so much shit
throwing handfuls of jelly beans at his face as he walks around. Like,
that is really good. Yeah,
it's like Carl Havoc from
basically. Yeah. Too much shit on me. Speaking of something that has too much shit on it.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Bloated. Stiff and rigid. Zach's faking a movie this week.
Yeah, he sure is.
Oh, I thought you were, for a second there, I was like, are you referring to me and my movie? You mean the real movie, I hope.
I'm spoilering my feelings of the real movie. Yeah.
Sure. Mm-hmm. I kind of knew the real one was very long, but yeah.
We'll get into that.
Sure. I am doing Dances with Wolves.
Astonishing. Fucking astonishing.
I know. And I will not be watching this.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
I think you would
hate it. Let me.
Yeah, I think you would unalive yourself, actually. No?
Let me tell you part of the reason why it's especially bad to watch right now. The only streaming platform it's available on at the moment is Roku, and it adds an hour of commercials.
Literally? Oh,
you can get it on AMC Plus. Which I signed up for as a trial and then immediately canceled because there's nothing the fuck else I want to watch on AMC Plus. But that's where the magic happens, at AMC.
Is it?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I learned at the Dune 2 thing where I watched 11 goddamn trailers about it.
I see. I will say,
still mad about it.
I know this is like a tired old joke, but like I can remember when AMC played like good movies.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
Yeah. But then as I got older, they also just started playing, like, Commando a lot, which, you know,
all right.
Fun movie.
Sure.
Yeah.
But now I don't really
need
so
much.
Then they made Madman, and then...
What even is AMC anymore, I guess, is what I'm saying.
Sure.
We used to build Madman tall boats and have AMC.
We're not the greatest country in the world anymore.
Yeah, I don't know.
This movie stars Kevin Costner, Mary McDonnell, the teacher president, Graham Greene, the that guy native actor that has been doing that thing for
crucially
years.
The actor and not the novelist. Yes,
yeah,
sure, has the same name. Sure. Yeah,
yeah. Mm-hmm. And Maury Shaken, is that how you spell say that name?
Yeah. I don't know. Never heard it out loud.
Yeah,
he's an entrapment.
He's a real Jabba the Hutt cross with Colonel Sanders looking motherfucker.
Yeah, I always thought that he. There's an era where I'm pretty sure he's getting cast as a joke on Harvey Weinstein. This is before that era, but I'm pretty sure there's an era when he's like explicitly getting cast for that reason.
Hey, he was in War Games though, so that's a thing.
Sure, sure.
That's
sure.
A thing I used to watch on AMC when I was younger.
Oh, the good old days. Thanks, Reagan.
I guess he was in Entourage for an episode as a guy named Harvey Weingard.
Okay. All right. Well, Entourage was on way before the Me Too thing, but I guess Courtney Love may have written some of the scripts. So,
wait, really?
Yeah.
No, she was just the one that at the MTV Movie Awards that one year was like, Harvey Weinstein's a bad guy, and everybody's like, oh, she's crazy, and it was like 20 years before the Me Too stuff came.
This
out.
Is like last week. I was flipping around on YouTube, and I started getting videos pushed for Freddie Prinze Sr. doing stand up.
Oh, sure.
And in the 70s, he was making Bill Cosby as a rapist jokes.
Hmm. Wow. Interesting. And that would have been weird because Bill Cosby was quite beloved and like everybody's dad back then. So
I don't know if he was quite everybody's dad just yet, but he was definitely beloved. Oh, yeah.
Sure. Yeah. Wow. Weird. Okay.
I mean, this guy was also in The Mask of Zorro. So
sure enough.
That's
do the other 107 of them? Or
He was in Lex. the weird sexy sci-fi with the giant penis ship.
I've seen almost every episode of Lex.
Yeah, well, that's on Tubi right now, by the way.
Oh, I can revisit Lex.
What isn't, I guess?
He was in two episodes of Due South, my favorite show of all time.
No, I'm sorry. This we can't keep... It was kind of funny, and now it's... I'm like...
He was in Mouse Hunt.
Oh.
Yeah, I've never seen that. Yeah.
That was a big one. Mm.
Do you want me to keep going?
No. He already told you no.
Beethoven's Second. It's going to come back around, I swear.
Oh, obviously, yes. Okay.
And he was in a 1993 film called Matrix.
Huh. Not
different.
Yeah. All right. Okay.
It's like Crash and Crash, you know.
Oh, mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's like when people see my Blu-ray collection and they're like, Crash? And go, no. Not that
no,
one.
No.
It's
not
the one about people Bullock. Fucking cars.
Piece of garbage. Yeah.
All right, I'm done.
Yeah. Okay. You're not, but that's fine. So that's I have a bunch of failed ones.
Yeah.
You might notice a theme, and that theme is I looked up the word wolf on Wikipedia.
Oh, man. I hope yiffing is involved.
No, I didn't get that far. I actually came up with one of these, or a couple of these myself. But anyway, Magic Mike-style dancer, but this time he goes into business with dangerous folks, a.k.a. wolves.
Sure.
And then I realized... That's actually what happens in Magic Mike. Kind of.
Yeah, the first
that's
one.
Just
sure.
Magic Mike. Yeah.
Also, it's in that Chippendale like limited series is about. Yeah,
that is the real Chippendale story, essentially. Yeah.
Oh, I guess. Yeah, that's true. I didn't thought about that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Not a very good show, but Kumail is just as always spectacular.
Mm-hmm.
Werewolves something, a prequel to Twilight that explores Jacob's family origins. I should have just deleted that one. That's
nothing. You're joking. I can guarantee you that was at least like pre-production at some point
before they realized Taylor Lautner is a walking potato and has zero charisma or acting ability.
Well, you could do it like when the Coens first arrived, you know.
Sure, I guess so. Yeah,
and just murder them up.
What a change things up a little bit, but yeah, sure. A horror movie, the wolves are much more sentient than actual wolves. Western expansion folks come upon them having heard legend of human-like wolves that dance in the forest at night. At first they're confused, and then they battle them, and then finally they find a way to live in harmony. And then I was like, surely someone has done this. It feels like some of the books we read for a book club.
Yeah, it reminds me of the Donner Party alt history horror book, The
exactly
Hunger. Like when it sounds Wendigo-y. Also, have you seen?
Yeah.
You ever seen Ravenous? It's a little like Ravenous too.
Mm-hmm. Okay, it's kind of like the Vvitch as well, except it's a goat, but like same general idea. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, what was his name? Black Tom.
Black Phillip.
Black Phillip.
Seth.
Yeah.
Delicious. Thou like to live delicious?
Yeah.
I mean, every day.
But what Kev lives
Dost
his life by.
Thou like the taste of butter?
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
Obviously. Literally, like, he wouldn't get through the first question, and I'd be like, yeah.
Let's fucking do this, Black Phillip. Asinine question.
I live in
show me the
pile
butter,
of
Phil.
Dirt with straw on top. Like, yeah, obviously. Yeah.
And butter is one of the few pleasures we have in life. Yeah.
You're telling me there's things better than that? Like, come on.
I can't believe that.
You speak of this television. Yeah. This one I was
I got it. You're telling me this is the best tasting thing on earth? I can't believe it's not butter.
Oh.
All right.
It's good origin. It's good origin. Yep. Yeah. The movie... I know literally everyone has been eagerly awaiting. Wolf the Dentist Stanson, the antagonist of D2 Mighty Ducks, hangs up the hockey skates and picks up the figure skates, becomes an ice dancer with Coach McKay as his partner. What an unlikely pair, you might say. Is this
in the Cutting Edge universe?
Yeah, and then again, I got to the end, I went, fuck, that is literally the Cutting Edge.
Like, only exactly like a slightly more sinister Cutting Edge, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I feel like you guys really need to watch that gay anime, Yuri on Ice. Yeah.
Yeah,
I think you'd really like it, except, you know, Zach doesn't watch animation and Lee hates anime, so.
No, I mostly just rarely watch TV shows. That's really, honestly, these days my stumbling block is TV show.
Mm.
It's commitment. I get that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Now squarely into the Wikipedia verse, I wrote here in parentheses, did you know there are 12 radio stations that use the call sign Wolf that exist across the planet?
Oh, yeah. Wolf 93.5.
There's several, like, within 100 miles of me currently, which is...
The Fox television affiliate that I grew up with was at one time referred to as Wolf TV.
I mean, it does sound fucking awesome, so, like, yeah, I like it, yeah. Next one, there also exists a group called the Women's Liberation Front, or WOLF for short, which sounds fucking rad. And then I kept reading, and it's apparently a bunch of TERFs that mostly try to tear down trans rights, which is they're just being real buttholes about the whole thing. So fuck that. So Wikipedia did nothing for me, and so I just kind of invented my own kind of biz. So
fair.
Yep. All right. There is a metal band called Wolves that's the stuff of legend in metal circles, like the infamous black metal band Mayhem, where the one guy killed the other guy. And...
Is this a background of from the real world, or is this the start of your movie?
No, this is the start of my real movie, yeah.
Okay, okay.
Mayhem
sorry.
Is real,
okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the one guy killed the other band member and the other guy committed suicide, and they used the picture of his suicided body as their album art, and everybody was like, wow, gnarly, and it was pretty gnarly. So the band Wolves, the fictional band Wolves, is a lot like Mayhem, but like even more extreme, if that's possible. So there have been insane stories since as far back as anyone can remember, but everyone...
did one of the singers remove all their ribs so they could suck their own dick?
Yeah, but then that singer ended up really being shitty to women later on. My teenage years are marred by really
person. Anyway.
Yeah, it was really, really dodged a bullet there that wasn't a person I latched on to. Weren't others, but...
Sure. It's hard to escape these days, yeah. But everyone knows that they're absolutely pure artists. They don't release their music in the traditional sense. So maybe kind of like the Wu-Tang album that Martin Shkreli owned, but like maybe there's just literally no copies of the stuff. I don't know.
Have you ever seen Eddie and the Cruisers?
No.
One of the plot lines is they recorded an album in the 60s, this band, and then the lead singer took the master tapes and disappeared, and like the whole movie is about this, so kind of like that, only they're still playing, they just refuse to play. Well, Prince has several unreleased albums like that.
Oh, more than several. They said he had like 1500 songs that he was just like, nah, not good enough for.
Well, one of the albums he finished and wouldn't release because he said it was too demonic. All right.
He would. What a little scamp.
Yeah. Seth, we're going to have to mark that timestamp down for when to take out the sound of Zach's erection smashing into his desk.
God. I was literally picturing him in that like G-string thing as you said the word Prince. It's just seared into my brain in the best possible way. Yeah. Right, so they don't release their music in the traditional sense. There's literally no way for your average person to listen to their music as such, but the stories are so insane and fucked up that everybody still knows about them, at least, like, you know, in the lore. But mostly people assume it's kind of made up because none of it really seems even remotely plausible because it's, like, so crazy. So casting extremely against type, Costner and Mary McDonnell are young, diehard metal fans and live and breathe this shit. I was thinking, Nick Cage and what's her butt, Laura Dern from
Wildheart. And,
which is like not a role for her, but she fucking like, it really fits somehow. Like, yeah. I don't know.
Yeah. All right.
And there's a lot of metal.
I don't know, man. You watch enough Laura Dern movies and you kind of realize, turns out Laura Dern is good at everything.
Yeah.
No argument here. Yeah, for sure. So they make pilgrimages to Norway and Sweden to see obscure bands and visit significant sites in the black metal history. After a few of these, they start asking around, seeing if there's any truth to any of these rumors about the band Wolves. They strike out a handful of times and fear the rumors were just rumors after all. So finally, at a basement show, someone wearing a full black and white face makeup, like is common in the black metal scene, is standing ominously against a wall, ignoring the show happening and staring only singularly at them.
Honestly, how would you even notice that? at a black metal show.
In a basement? Yeah, it's, I don't know. That plot device. What can we do?
Sure, okay. I'll give it to you. I'll suspend my disbelief.
Thank you, thank you. They take notice of this fact and are initially creeped out, but this person, played, I think, by Graham Greene, does a kind of eyes wide shut sort of follow me thing, and they can't help but see where this might go because, of course, their curiosity is very piqued. So they jump in a sort of in for a penny, in for a pound, you know, quest sort of thing. So he leads them back to a dungeon-looking room where Mari Shaken looms about, kind of Baron Harkonnen style. There might even be some cool black goo.
Oh, I feel sweet. Like. Finally. That seems, he doesn't need metal. Any
bodysuit. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, for sure. This is obviously getting really weird really fast, but this is exactly the kind of shit that they actually had hoped for. Like, it seems like all of a sudden it's like,
oh. This is why they cashed in all of their 401ks. To, yeah.
And their bearer bonds.
Right, yes.
On a beach collecting 20% or whatever.
Mm-hmm. You'll love to see it. Yep. So all the lore is starting to seem way more plausible because this is real fucking bonkers. We find out that Mari is some sort of arbiter of metal in the scene and has some more answers for them. So noting that he was made aware that they have been asking around, he indicates that he has the answers they seek, but they will obviously have to prove themselves worthy, as this is a very sort of exclusive situation, as, you know, legend tells. The middle of the whole movie turns into this epic quest sort of thing, sort of like The Game with Michael Douglas mixed with, like, a Saw movie, because this is all kind of gnarly and metally. And they're set on an increasingly insane set of challenges. Half the time they have to do somewhat nefarious things, and half the time it seems like they're really just trying to stay alive. Like, it is really getting out of control, but, you know, we're sort of excited for them as the audience because this is everything they've ever dreamed of, and also terrified because they are in, like, big-time danger. Like, this is not a game situation. Like, this is all very, like, real. It's cool.
How far are they willing to go?
Like, yeah. And again, in for a penny, in for a pound. It's sort of a sunk cost thing. They're like, well, we're here, and, like, this is
we've
our
already made
thing,
so far. We might as well kill someone if they ask.
It's getting
us
there. Yeah. It's for sure getting there. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, it's like Infinity Pool or whatever.
I still haven't seen that.
Oh, I did, but I remember almost none of it because it was odd. Yeah.
Didn't? Yeah. Okay. I don't remember. I thought you had to, like, kill a person or something. I don't remember. Anyway.
Maybe. Possibly. No. Eventually, the big reveal is that this was all for naught. It's a sick joke that these dudes play on fans of the scene for their local enjoyment. There's an endless supply of these hyper-motivated people coming to look for this mythical band, and all the local fans are in on this whole thing. So the band is kind of this, like, Wizard of Oz thing, right? Like, they're not actually real, they're just used to keep the whole thing going, essentially.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, mysterious. It's
exactly. Like to build dragon. The lore. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So they've been to hell and back throughout this process, and they have nothing to lose at this point. So in a moment of desperation, they decide their dream is dead, and they'll end their lives in true metal fashion, because now there's nothing left to chase, and that was the whole thing. But just in that moment, when it's now clear this thing has been entirely orchestrated, twist number two. They've passed the final test and fully devoted themselves to the lifestyle by sort of the suicide pact thing. Uh-huh.
Yeah, got it.
Yep. So a door opens and our mains see a single swinging light bulb and four silhouettes apparent on a stage with a few select locals milling about in this very dark room. They enter and the door shuts behind them. And then we cut to black. And in the final scene, we see them in a euphoric state, disheveled and clearly extremely roughed up in pure silence, both with massive grins on their faces.
Hmm.
And then credits.
Okay.
Okay.
So... sort of a double twist.
I'm glad that it's that the, you know, it wasn't they leave and it's like, man, that was a real letdown.
That was it, yeah. Like Fanboys, the George Lucas Skywalker Ranch thing.
I remember that movie.
And the kid that has cancer goes in at the end, and the ending is just like, it was a movie. It's like, wait, what?
That's right, because they let him see it because
Phantom Menace, I think. So, like, turns out they had correctly predicted the bummerness that was Phantom Menace, but a weird way to do that.
I'm pretty sure that movie came out, like, afterwards. I don't think they predicted.
No, it came out in, like, 2010. Oh, yeah, I guess they had known that Phantom Menace was
right. Yeah,
a pile of shit. Yeah, right. That's how time works, I guess.
It's not like that show I mentioned before we started recording where they invented a time machine. Yeah.
I know.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Gotta look that one up. Yeah.
Very cool. Yeah, that's true. Okay. Cool death metal thing. You know, you could have gone with Maury Chaykin. He played a famous character named Nero Wolfe also. So you could have just gone with that.
Maybe. Oh, I didn't know he was Nero Wolfe.
He was in like the 2000 series. Yeah. But
that's really great, Seth.
Yeah,
that's
that was really kind great. Of a missed opportunity there.
You snuck a Maury Chaykin thing in, and I didn't notice. Yeah, okay. Well, we're back, I guess.
Oh, I mean, we could talk about Devil in a Blue Dress again, because he's in that, too.
But... I've done that one. Yep.
Yep. Anyway, Dances with Wolves. Are you ready for this? You ready for Academy Award winning Dances with Wolves?
Yeah, I did know that it won Best Picture. Also, yeah, this seems like pretty the sure, right mood for that kind of movie.
I'm pretty sure it won 7 Academy Awards.
It sure did.
Oh, it won Best Picture, though, right?
It did. And director.
And Best Director. Well, so it's a real you'll have to guess who is the director later. Huh. All right, so here we are. Dances with Wolves, it's I don't even know what fucking year. Some year movie.
I think.
Yeah, I don't know. Lieutenant John Dunbar. You know, a name is always a good thing to have on your... Yeah. Lieutenant John Dunbar, assigned to a remote Western Civil War outpost, finds himself engaging with a neighboring Sioux settlement, causing him to question his own purpose.
Oh, so this movie's on the right side of... history?
Not really. I mean,
okay.
It's kind of a mixed bag, to be honest.
Yeah, I mean, I'll say this: the Lakota Tribal Federation, as it exists this day and age, did make Kevin Costner an honorary member after this movie came out because of the positive portrayals of Native characters.
Except for the Pawnee, which
except for the Pawnee was, who are really to be warlike and vicious.
Yeah,
and,
Costner plays the general, right? Why did he get to be an
lieutenant? Yeah,
Did he have any? Did he write the script? Did he direct this fucking movie?
He did direct this.
Oh, okay. Now
and this one was best his, director. This
was, yeah, it, it actually is the first of three movies he has directed, and he won best director. Yeah.
Were the other two like? Draft Day and something else about basketball or some shit?
No, Ivan Reitman directed Draft Day.
Okay.
No, the I other should... two were The Postman and Open Range, which if you haven't seen Open Range, fucking rips. And now he's got, as Seth knows, because he saw so many trailers, he's got an upcoming two-part epic Western American Frontier Story part one and two or something.
That looked really boring. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's pretty much the exact same plot, it seems.
Okay.
So.
Yeah. All right. I'm going to, Seth, go through this as bare bones as possible.
Yeah. That's seems fine. It's like fucking right stupid. Yeah. It's all
Costner's in the Civil War. He basically tries to commit suicide by Confederate. And
he like rushes onto a field and
said,
and, like,
"I wanted to do this fast."
Okay, I want to, but it's like the only cool scene in the whole damn movie. All right,
fine.
Fade in, cool summer's day.
The fabulous Freebirds are playing at Madison Square Garden.
He's about to get his leg amputated, and the doctors like walk away for some reason. And he like puts his boots back on and just gets on his horse, and he's gonna ride across the field and get killed because he's like, "I'd rather be dead than have." Get my leg cut off.
So he's on his horse Cisco, which is important because I remember the name of the horse and it's really sad.
Like, and he gets he impresses, he throws off the Confederates so much that the Union soldiers who are pinned down end up being able to like rout them.
Yeah,
and he impresses this general, and the general, he's like, "Don't let him take my leg," and the general's like, "No, you get my good surgeon." And then he's like, "Where do you want to go, son?" And he's like, "I want to see the frontier before it disappears."
Uh-huh. Sure.
That's the movie. He goes out to the frontier outpost.
Fort Maury Hayes, Chaykin right? Yeah.
Is the commanding officer there, and he is clearly out of his mind.
Yeah.
And he sends him off to go to this even more remote fort.
He's and, like, so Mari Chaykin, who I think is only in like 5 minutes of this movie, but he is like tops. Thinks himself is like he thinks like of King himself Arthur, as
like sending people out on a quest.
Yeah, he's like very like pretending to be like British aristocracy, and
he calls Costner like a knight errant. So it's he does like even call him more than British aristocracy. It's like it's like weird. Mythological England. Like
Then he shits himself.
pisses. He says, he pissed myself and no one can do anything about it. That's what he says.
Oh,
and
he's a dirty little piss boy like Ted Cruz. Okay.
Then he kills himself.
Then he kills himself as soon as our boy Kevin Costner leaves.
Crucially later, before he can tell anybody that he assigned this dude to this fort. So he goes to the fort. Fort's abandoned, basically.
It's not even a fort. It's like a mud hut. Yeah,
I watched the director's cut, which has a scene about the people who were at the fort.
Oh, really?
And yeah, they're
willingly?
Like,
you did this willingly? Isn't this movie three and a half hours?
I'll get to it, Zach. Okay. I'll get to it. And really the guy is like, well, men, the army hasn't sent us any supplies, reinforcements. I'm proud of you guys. Fuck it. Let's just go. And they all desert. And then Costner shows up and it's empty. And a lot of the movie is him voiceovering into his diary about like, oh, it's so lonely here. Oh, but it's beautiful. Oh, I've made contact with the natives. Oh, I made contact with this wolf. Oh, I made contact with
his name is Two Socks.
He names him Two Socks because he's got a little socks.
Two little booties? I mean, that's fun. Yeah.
I think it's actually a trained Mexican maned wolf, if I'm not mistaken.
Well, it was definitely a trained wolf.
Yeah, for sure. You'd think. It wasn't large enough to be, you know, like North American common wolf. Gray.
So
I think it was a Mexican maned wolf.
I read some background, and apparently this, despite being trained, not really easy to train a wolf. And this wolf bit a couple people during
That is one of the defining characteristics.
Oh,
of wolves.
Man, he's a real Alec Baldwin of wolves.
Oh, yeah. The wolf handler didn't make sure the wolves weren't loaded
day. Oh, I get it now. Oh, no.
Who put bullets in the wolf? God damn it, you guys.
Yeah. So anyway, he makes
when they
contact.
Bark, they shoot bees out of their mouth.
No, I bet.
Mm-hmm. That's Mr. Burns' dogs. Eventually makes contact with one of the local tribes.
He's
in
truly
the area.
By himself at this point? Or he has
completely
just,
by himself, him
it's
and his
just
horse.
Him and his horse, Cisco, and two socks is showing up every once in a while.
And you know, through being a chill dude ends up like learning their language and teaching them some English and like trading with them and like eventually getting adopted into the group. And Mary McDonald plays a white woman who was adopted by them as a child because her family was slaughtered by Pawnee Indians. Again, the Pawnee are huge villains in this movie. And she can kind of remember English, so that's like
but
the
it's
bridge.
Been like 25 years since she spoke English. So.
What's her character's name? It stands with a fist because she wouldn't let the women pick on her when she was little. And then Graham Greene is Kicking Bird, which I then learned that made me realize that the character from Joe Dirt named Kickin' Wing is definitely a play on that.
That makes sense.
Also, he's in The Power of the Dog, which I just watched again the other day. Actor who played Kickin' Wing.
He
buys the
snakes and the sparklers. He buys the snakes and the sparklers, right?
Yeah, because he likes the snakes, yeah. Even though that's not what people want to buy. It's the ones he likes.
It's been a while.
In Heart of a Dog or whatever it's called. Yeah.
That happens in Power of the Dog, yeah.
Yeah, it does.
Not Joe Dirt. So, you know, he's living with the tribe, and eventually they're going to pack up and move for the season. And he's like, wait, I left my diary back at the fort, and that has, like, my papers that prove who I am, and also my whole, like, history here with you guys. I got to go back for it. And of course, as soon as he shows up, troops have returned to the fort and found it abandoned, and they take him prisoner because they don't believe him who he is. And he's like, where's my diary? And it turns out one of the soldiers has it, but he's illiterate and he's just using his toilet paper.
Back to get the diary so that they couldn't track the tribe. I mean, there was like a noble intent.
That's true. Okay. That's true.
Because it's all very sort of invented out of nowhere otherwise.
Right, because there's like a big buffalo hunt scene where it's like we see different things of like, well, we see all these buffalo that have been skinned and wasted by white people. And then we see an actual buffalo hunt where like, you know, they kill one because that's what they need for the tribe.
The and whole
like,
buffalo famously.
Yeah. He gets to eat the heart because he was the brave one who stood down the buffalo and saved a kid from getting trampled.
Man, I remember that scene when I saw this movie the first time in like high school, and I remember it being way more graphic. And maybe it is in the director's cut, but the version I watched,
it's not.
He just takes a little bite. It's not like taking a honk and like jamming the whole damn heart into his mouth, which is what I remembered.
It's not like that scene in Jason Goes to Hell where the guy doing the autopsy goes full mouth on Jason's heart.
Oh yeah. It's
no.
Dumb movie. Yeah.
Huh.
Mm-hmm. Bad movie.
Yeah.
Yes. So he gets taken Jason prisoner. Takes Manhattan. And no, good that's movie. A good movie.
sure.
It's I a like fun it. Movie.
Yeah, yeah. Right. It's one of the best later Jasons.
Oh, by a mile, yeah.
Jason 4 is like the best Jason. Right?
Excuse me? What about Jason Bourne?
I mean,
is that in the same?
I've only seen the first Bourne movie and I did not care for
it. Is that in the same continuity? I assume it is. I assume the Jason Bourne, played by Matt Damon, is the Jason Voorhees.
Like, they are both big court case unkillable
monsters. Death
elementals.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
They sure are.
They were trying to keep the copyright alive, and they had to argue in court.
Yeah,
no, they're
one
the
of,
same
one
guy.
Of them
they're
is a death death elemental of American imperialism. The other one is a death elemental of shitty kids at a summer camp that lets you drown.
Fucking not watching Life Garden. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah. Exactly.
We solved it.
Yeah. Wow. Thank you for coming to our dissertation defense.
Our dissertation defense.
Dissertation?
Holy shit.
Yeah.
We have a group PhD, and I think it's only fair that you guys let me have half and you each get 25%, since you guys already have one of your own.
Hey,
does seem equitable. Yeah.
Hey,
yeah.
Can I get the D?
Oh, I'll take the period. One of them. Yeah. Mm.
Seth, you can get the D anytime you want. Look at that.
Baby.
Look at that head and that beard. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
So he gets taken captor and he can't prove who he is, and eventually the members of the tribe come looking for him because he's one of their because he has become one of their group now, and
right. He's even assigned the name Dances with Wolves because he was like playing with two socks at one point.
Okay.
Yeah. And everybody like saw him playing with a wild wolf and were like, what the fuck?
Like, this dude's fucking hardcore.
That white guy is out of it, man. Yeah,
yeah, pretty much, actually.
And his friends show up and kill all the soldiers and save him.
Figured that had to happen eventually. Yep. Yeah.
And I think that it's the kid who he saved during the buffalo hunt actually is the one who finds his diary.
Yeah.
Huh?
Things I left out. He helps defend the tribe when the men go off on a war party, and the Pawnee sneak up on the women and children, and he helps save them, and like that's how part of how he gets part becomes part of the tribe. He gets married to Mary McDonald.
When the Pawnee, in recompense for that, like stopping their previous raid, like attack with full force, John Dunbar just goes get like a shit ton of guns that he buried near the fort, and so just gives the tribe hundreds of guns.
It's like Lee's time machine in that show. They're like, wait, these were there the whole time right there? Mm-hmm.
At one point, he yells, shoot the gun at someone.
And I'm like,
the guy's like, thanks, I got it.
Thank you for telling me to do something, asshole.
So anyway, they pick up and they move to, you know, winter camp. And then someone spots.
So boring.
This is the ending. The ending is like just wraps up. And then some, the army people are still like looking for them. But they're able to spot the army first and they, you know, get out or whatever. And the end of the movie is they're still on the road until the on the increasingly shrinking frontier.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, not a ton of conclusion.
And then it's just like the conclusion is 10 years later, the rest of the Sioux nations just surrendered at Fort Hayes.
Yeah.
Like, that's it.
I guess we do know how that ends generally, historically.
Yeah, that's the thing, is there is a
tough one.
We don't need a time machine for that one.
Yeah, we sure don't. Okay.
So
sounds not all that interesting, I guess. Yeah,
it's I have several things to point out about my particular experience.
It's very pretty.
It is. It did win best cinematography.
Like it's I mean, but how could you not with like giant sweeping like long the American exposures planes. Of yeah, the planes? Like yeah. it's very pretty, but like cool.
It's a National Geographic movie. Like
yeah. I it's too bad that. John Hammond's brother wasn't doing a narration over it.
Oh, yeah.
Looking at beetles on the ground or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So there are more beetles than there are 6,100,000 kinds of beetles and only 45 mammals in the world.
That's pretty much it, yep.
And only one kind of human.
Yep.
And it makes you think, perhaps God knew that beetles were his favorite creation.
Huh. More editorializing than I'm used to with,
I don't know, Planet Earth gets a little
It does,
I guess.
Yeah.
And everybody knows that beetles are God's favorite creation. Why would he make 6 million of them?
Why would they have 27 number one hits otherwise? Come on.
Hey.
Number nine.
That was not one of them.
Oh, I'm surprised, because it's definitely not a shitty song.
Listen, it's part of the whole for the album. It's never meant to be a standalone song. Anyway, let me...
I have a couple things.
I have a couple... The idea that you call me a Beatles apologist in a world in which you're the weird one, no. Like...
Am I, though?
Yeah, is he?
Yeah!
I think history will redeem me, I think.
Anyway...
So
there's a few things about the movie that I looked up that we can talk about, but I do want to bring up a few things about my watching experience. One,
I had a rough one too.
Sounds
true.
There is a director's cut which I unknowingly watched.
Mm-hmm. So wait, this was also Costner's first movie directing.
Yeah.
Yep. Man, he really fucking swung for the fences on that one, didn't he?
it paid off for him, I guess.
Yeah, and I can give you some background on the story and everything, but the thing is about the director's cut is apparently it's not actually a director's cut. Costner didn't make this. It's just an extended cut that they released and called a director's cut, and it is 4 hours long, and I didn't know that that wasn't the normal version of the movie because I watched it on Kev's Magical Site, and that's just the one that
you didn't
hover
and see the 4 hours.
I did, and I just didn't. I just like fuck. I forgot. I didn't know this movie was this long. Yeah. Like,
God.
Here's the other thing that I feel like maybe creates an asterisk over what I eventually score this movie.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
There were no subtitles on the copy I watched.
Oh, and a lot of this movie takes place in a Sioux language.
In a Sioux language that is not a written language.
No.
Even. So, like...
Complicated, sure.
I think it's Lower Western Lakota or something. There's, like, three Lakotan languages.
Well, and they had to switch to Lakota because they couldn't find enough people to speak the dialect that they... Sorry, dialect is not the right term.
It's a full language.
Term.
Yeah.
It's a full language. They couldn't find enough people that could convincingly speak the language that they were originally going to use. They're like, switch it to a tribe that spoke this, and we can find enough people that can speak this. Like,
okay, yeah. That's hilarious. Okay, I mean, points for historical accuracy, but the problem is moot if there are not enough people to even speak it. That means no one in the world would have known that that was the case.
Not enough actors who could convincingly.
And
In fact, that's one of the things that Graham Greene pointed out is like Costner, you know, was like, I want to cash in this movie in this important role. And it's like, it's going to be in this is at this point they've settled on. We're going to do it in Lakota. And it's like, it's going to be in Lakota. And he just goes, I can't speak that. And Costner goes, well, neither can I, but I'm going to learn.
Oh,
like,
And it's I expected more of a like, no one fucking cares. But OK, good on you.
The language stuff is actually well. Not his learning of the language, but like once they get into talking, as far as I can tell, it's pretty good. I mean,
so not having subtitles for a little bit, like initially, I was wondering, oh, is this movie doing something very interesting with subtitles?
Right.
Yeah, like that Make a Monroe movie recently that,
right, that
everybody was confused, and it was actually intended to give the audience the sense of not belonging, which is a very
and
cool
then as the movie goes on, you start to see more subtitles.
That's the thing Vladimir Nabokov used to do a lot in his works.
This is also a thing that happens, and we talked about this last time, Killers of the Flower Moon.
Mm-hmm.
The subtitles are very selective.
Right,
it's only when you're supposed to be part of the group that the subtitles show up. Anyway, I thought, maybe they're doing something interesting with this. And then I noticed, like, because I was watching it while I was working and, you know, in between stuff.
As you do. As you do.
And I noticed I was 2 hours in, and at intermission, I'm sorry, intermission was like 2.5 hours in. I'm at intermission.
Fuck, there's an intermission
on that version.
I mean, mercifully, I guess.
Yeah. So I hit the intermission, and I'm like, maybe I should Google whether there's supposed to be subtitles. And I Google it, and it's like, oh, yeah, there's definitely subtitles. And I went on to the file, and I selected turn on subtitles, and there weren't any. Wow. So, yeah.
Tough.
I don't think I missed a whole lot.
Honestly. No, I mean, like, mostly you missed the bonding between them and, like, how
but the body language is very well acted.
Right. Mm-hmm. I think most of the actors do a real good job. I mean, like, it's good, and it's very evocative, and there's a lot of, like, gestural language.
It's incredibly well performed.
Yes.
I will say this about this movie. Mm-hmm. It's, like, to the point where people were speaking a language I have zero chance of understanding.
Yeah.
And I basically knew what was going on.
Yeah. That's true.
Impressive.
I mean, it is very well acted. But, there's, boy.
Extended
so my
director's cut that wasn't Costner's is like, what the fuck? Well, who would do such a thing? That doesn't make any goddamn sense.
Because you got to sell the re-release of whatever, and it's like.
I was watching a version that clearly had ad breaks programmed in, but there are no ads.
Oh.
So I didn't realize this till after I had finished it, but it would like go for, I don't know, 20 minutes or so, and then there'd be a hard cut. And I was like, what the fuck was that scene transition?
Yeah, right.
And then it would go again for 20 minutes and then a hard cut to the next scene. And I was like, Jesus Christ, that is so jarring that there is like a black line cut between this shit instead of like any kind of transition. So I was under the impression that Kevin Costner doesn't know what editing is.
Was a real fucking clown.
But as far as I can tell, it was just that I was watching on AMC Plus, a free version of it, they just didn't put
because
the
you were
in.
Watching it on AMC Plus, the commercials were taken out.
Except the cuts
but
for
the
commercials
cuts were still
not
there. Right.
So they just partially heard your wish. They were like, man, that guy has been really talking some shit on us.
Just for reference, Seth, this did win Best Editing. So I'm guessing, yes, that was not a...
All right.
Not intentional.
Because it was like,
it's
was
not best
horse
editing,
shit
but it's,
in the version
it's
I saw.
Most editing? It's very editing.
Who else was up for editing that year? They beat Thelma for fucking Goodfellas. Yeah, this is the movie that came out the year that Goodfellas came out. Beat Goodfellas. So
okay. Interesting.
Hunt for Red October, another really well edited movie. Beat that.
Shit.
Yeah.
Salute to some.
That's a movie that does do an interesting thing with subtitles. And
they
language.
Sure do.
Yeah,
you
true,
speak Paruski?
Anyway.
God damn you, Sean Connery, you piece of shit.
I'm Spanish.
You want to know
I am definitely from Russia.
You want to know about the screenplay, right? Or the story or whatever.
Yeah.
Or someone brought it. Yeah.
Definitely. I didn't.
So I did look this up.
I don't give a shit.
Costner is a dude who has guys. Like, he has his dudes that he likes to work with, which is why Kevin Reynolds directed Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves, and Waterworld, and this and that, and this and that, and they all have Kevin Costner, because Costner is like, I like this dude. In fact, Kevin Reynolds gets, like, a thank you in this movie for, like, helping him with learning how to be a director.
Huh?
Kevin Reynolds didn't get no Oscar for this fucking movie, but Kevin Costner did, so.
Kevin Reynolds is sitting there like, yeah, he sure seemed to like me, so why am I not directing this movie?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So this story, this guy named Michael Blake, who I guess was friends with Costner, wrote a screenplay in the 80s, and Costner had like a was starting a production company around time. He's like, listen, it's gonna be hard. I don't have like the money to do my own production company right now. It's like underneath another one, so I can't just buy your script. But if you turn your script into a novel, it'll be a lot easier for me to sell them on it. So he turns it into a novel, and Costner's like, look, we got this novel. It's going to be a built-in audience when the novel gets big. And the studio that's like funding his production company is like, oh yeah, we'll buy that right up. So Costner gets
it's really
it
that
like,
easy and stupid. That's very
apparently. Okay. So then Costner's like, listen, Michael Blake, let's rewrite this. Rewrite this, make this script better, because your novel's way better than the script. And also the whole thing was like, I can tell that there's things going on in your script that you didn't develop because you were trying to keep it short. Like, if you write the novel first, you can get all these ideas out. So then he gets this thing, and then he spends like 3 years like trying to get this made and like working on it before it even gets going. And they started calling it Kevin's Gate. Are you familiar with Heaven's Gate, the Michael Cimino movie?
Oh, I'm familiar with
I thought
the
you
cult.
Were talking about the suicide pact.
No. There's a movie from the early 80s that the guy who made The Deer Hunter made called Heaven's Gate, and it's a Western that is like a famous flop. Big bomb, big folly. It's apparently, that has a director's cut that's out and is apparently fantastic. And people
the only
have, like,
time that's
around.
Ever mattered? Interesting.
Yeah. Well, it was like, it was a 3-hour movie that they cut down to like 90. So like, yeah,
oh, they
it was
went
a pretty
the good
big
way.
Difference.
Okay, yeah.
Well, so people are calling this movie Kevin's Gate. And it's like, oh, Costner's going to ruin his career, blah, blah. Movie fucking comes out. It's the highest grossing movie to ever not have been the number one movie. Like it made insane amounts of money.
It
and
made
it was never number one.
So it
you mean at the box office?
Yeah.
Oh, weird.
So it was what 1990? Yeah,
1990.
Yeah, and it cost $22 million, and it made $424 million.
In 1990?
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
like $1 trillion.
Now. Yeah.
And it's also a 3-hour movie. People were like planting themselves for this thing. Yeah.
Weird.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, I just cut a hole in my side, added a colostomy bag, and...
Yep.
You just throw
honey,
the popcorn
honey,
right
I'll
into
I'll see
it.
You in 1991. Yeah. Wow.
So... funny thing is, years later, when Kevin Reynolds and Costner are making Waterworld, Waterworld starts getting called Kevin's Gate.
A
as well.
Famous
so,
actual
like,
flop. Yeah. Okay. That's
It's kind of baffling to me that like that you know suffix gate. I mean, you have Watergate and you have Heaven's Gate, you have Kevin Gate, yeah, like all of these gates.
Gamer
you
gate.
Put a gate There's on a anything, it's because of Watergate. Yeah,
it's because of Watergate, but Heaven's Gate is completely a different origin.
Yeah,
right. It was called Heaven's Gate. It's just coincidental that the word gate is also involved. Yeah.
Right. So is that word cursed?
Oh.
I mean, it was also a death cult, but you know.
That's the one I remember.
Colorful.
I just watched we watched a bunch of Campion movies last weekend, me and my partner of the show, my partner. So, and we watched Holy Smoke, which is about her movie about someone like joining an ashram in India and their family taking it like thinking it's way worse than it actually is and hiring a cult deprogrammer. And there's a whole sequence where they're watching like you may think that cults aren't a big deal, but and they there's Heaven's Gate stuff in there for sure.
One of the bigger ones, yeah. Jim Jones, yeah. Heaven's Gate, top two.
Yeah. Anyway, I think the word is cursed, and we should never use it again.
Alrighty.
Or use it all the time. I don't give a shit.
Well, flipped on that one. Okay.
What am I going to call the thing I used to open my backyard?
It's called a garden door, asshole. Yeah,
I was gonna say yard door. That's my yard door, idiot. Partner of the show, your partner keeps calling it a gate, and you're like, we fucking talked about this.
The house we live in right now only has fence three ways around, and the way that's open is to the street. It's just really weird.
So you better have a really stupid dog is what I'm hearing.
Yeah.
It's really quite baffling, the house you live in right now.
I don't like it.
Hey, instead of a pet gate, it's really just, you know, an animal wall.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is smacking so similar of Mo on The Simpsons complaining about calling it a garage and not a car hole.
Well, that's true. That's
I like
true.
That, actually. Yeah.
Or maybe it was car home. I don't know. Mo's accent is hard to parse sometimes.
I think I like it's car form. Home, but it was basically, ooh, a garage. Look at right. us, fancy. Just call it a car home.
Fun.
So, yeah, this movie is insanely successful.
It's very
yeah, like in
seven
every
Oscars
measure.
And $8 trillion. Yeah, that's pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah. Costner doesn't win Best Actor.
No.
That's
I mean,
important
at that point,
to note.
Who gives a shit, I guess, but sure. Yeah.
It's exactly the same thing that happened to Warren Beatty and Robert Redford. And it's like famous actors directing movies and they win Best Director and they never win an acting Oscar. It's strange.
Did Warren Beatty win it for Dick Tracy or something else?
No, he won it for Reds, but Dick Tracy came out this same year.
As
and,
this? Oh, shit.
As Dance with Wolves. And I believe the only Oscar that Dick Tracy won,
makeup?
I think Sondheim and Madonna won it for Best Song.
Yeah. Huh? Oh, Best Song? Yeah. Okay. Yeah, By the way, Madonna was in
seen,
there.
If you haven't seen Dick Tracy,
I have.
It's the rare Disney. It's great.
It isn't.
It's not. But it's it's the rare Disney movie where you see Madonna fully naked but wearing like sheer clothing. You know. Uh-huh. So.
Huh. Okay.
Also, incredible amounts of gun violence.
Oh. Yeah.
Just astoundingly large numbers of people being shot to death by Tommy guns.
Disney After Dark. Yeah.
The other nomination that Dick Tracy got was Al Pacino
for
Big Boy Caprice.
Big Boy Caprice, yeah.
You know,
what a movie of people with makeup.
It's
sounds like
rough. It's rough. There's so many prosthetics.
Now, I've got the Oscars for that year open, Seth. I gotta see if it won best makeup.
So
it did. You were right.
Yeah, best makeup. Yeah.
Speaking of Oscars, I do feel compelled now that you know we put our Oscars up out and the Oscars have now happened.
Mm-hmm.
Thank the gods, Bradley Cooper is still Oscarless.
Oh yeah,
it's kind of funny.
The streak continues.
I know that I'm like, I think I've become a maestro defender, but like,
yeah, it's still,
really funny
it's
that
still
he has
really
won an
great
Oscar.
That he is getting shut out though. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, it's really funny.
It is.
Oh, I called his Oscar clip though. I'm writing it in.
Well, yeah.
Also, I hated Poor Things, by the way. It was rough.
Oh.
You did mention that, yeah.
Yeah.
I guess it's not really your movie. That's
well,
fair.
No, but I had high hopes, but then, like, it was just, like, the experiential part where, like, you experience the world only through sex.
Yeah.
Was very frustrating to me.
But wasn't it, like, if a Tim Burton movie looked better somehow? Like, the aesthetics
I guess,
of it is
but you know
really
what?
Cool.
I hate Tim Burton, so.
Oh, same. But, like, this is the version that I think I do like.
Yeah.
It depends.
I mean, parts of it were very good, but, it's not.
Anyway,
I didn't like it. I did like Willem Dafoe, though.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
I love Willem Dafoe as a weird guy that
weird
has.
Weird little guy.
Yeah.
Monster.
Weird little
it's
guy.
A movie, it is a movie
humanity.
Full of weird little guys.
It
yeah.
sure is, yeah.
Yeah.
Big ups to Rami Yusuf.
Not a lot of weird little guys in this movie, though.
No,
a lot
not
of
really.
Stoic guys. Yeah. And
what is the name of the kid that he saves? Smiles too much? Smiles a lot?
I think it Smiles a Lot sounds familiar.
Yeah.
There's
okay.
a lot of
anyway,
leeway with
matter.
These names. Yeah.
Well,
there's no real rules or.
I mean, they.
Grammars.
They're monikers in the language that makes
right.
sense, right? So.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Any other shit?
I got very little.
Sure. It's, you know, I don't know. Is it like the worst Best Picture winner I've ever seen?
No.
No. But,
yeah.
Like, I don't give a fuck. Like, you know what other Kevin Costner movie I watched this weekend? I watched Bull Durham for the 9,000th time.
Oh,
you know what?
It's a great one.
Bull Durham's fucking incredible.
Yeah,
like,
it's true.
Better. Well, I think he gives a better performance in Bull Durham.
Yeah. Well, you said this year, like, you know, Goodfellas especially being out there
I also watched Goodfellas this weekend, and like, because it's like, you know, the whole thing is like, well, can you believe Goodfellas lost the Dance of Wolves? And it's like, well, I've never seen it, so I can't weigh in. And now I've seen it, kind of. and I've seen Goodfellas a billion times, and like, yeah, Goodfellas is way better.
Kind of seems like it, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you should just watch Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves again, because that's like one of my favorite Kevin Costner.
Yeah, I have watched really that good. Within the last 2 months, so it is about time to watch it again. You're right.
Yeah,
I watched Waterworld like 3 months ago because I had never previously seen Waterworld, but there's so much lore about it, and it's for a bit it takes itself way too seriously, which I think was part
of
the
criticism.
And then
it just stops.
Yes.
And there's like, there's a guy who lives in an oil well that's like, oh, there's not enough oil here.
Yeah. It goes like Mikhail's Navy down Periscope like halfway through, and you're like, what the fuck Pauly Shore bullshit is this? That's a weird, weird tone shift.
Yeah. It's fun. I mean, he almost gets turned into algae soup, which is pretty cool.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool.
It is. All right.
I got very little to talk about with this movie. It's very long, and it did take me 3 days to watch it. And I was actually like watching it. But the thing was, is that I was reasonably engaged most of the time, which is odd for it being not that good. I think just maybe I needed to turn off my brain and zone out, which might have been the reason why I was able to be engaged. But like, yeah, it's a little bit of a chore.
Wow, here's a weird little trivia. Mary McDonnell was born in and then spent her teen years in two towns that, of the three of us, two of us have lived in.
Oh.
What the fuck kind of mystery-ass stupid shit was that? What the hell?
I mean, I always know her as the president in Battlestar, because
she was. She was the president.
And I always know her as Liz from Sneakers.
Mm.
Oh, sure enough, yeah.
Okay, well,
my voice is my password.
Oh, all right. Now I follow you, Lee. What a weird, cryptic-ass thing to say, you asshole.
I'm trying not to do any doxing, baby.
And yet now everyone could just look that up, so I...
All I said is, at some point we lived in places, and I didn't say who.
Okay. Yeah, but you can look this woman up and find out where those places are, asshole.
Oh,
at
weird.
At some point.
Yeah. Oh, I didn't think I would be part of this, but here we are. I figured it was you and Seth.
you just eliminated one of them.
I think I have actually said out loud, or someone we have had on the podcast has said out loud where I live. I don't know why we do this thing anymore. It's fine. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, it's fine. we know who listens. It's no one.
It's fine. It's fine.
Most of the people have been to my house.
That's true.
Also,
her character is like the adopted daughter of Graham Greene's character, and she's apparently 10 months younger than him. And then 2 years younger than the adoptive mother, and Tantu Cardinal, who was also in Killers of the Flower Moon.
Yeah. She's in everything these days,
Plays her adoptive mother in the movie. That's some stuff.
That's another plus, is most of the people who are playing native peoples were portrayed by native actors, which is good.
Which is a thing we've been doing a whole bunch of the last couple of years, but not in 1990.
Not in 1990. That was a surprising...
For sure.
Surprisingly good thing.
Here's one thing really quick I wanted to bring up. They were going to film this in Wyoming in a couple different national park settings.
Hmm.
And every time they'd come in...
The Perth of North America?
Yeah, exactly.
I'm a sovereign citizen.
They kept coming in. They kept coming in with their like equipment and shit, and like the national park people would be like, so you can't do that because like we're protecting the environment here. And Costner got pissed and was like, fuck it, we'll go to Montana. They don't care about shit out there.
That's true, they don't.
Sure. Yeah. Huh, okay.
Also, this movie was filmed almost entirely in order.
Jesus.
Well, I mean, if your locations are mostly like outdoors in the middle of Montana,
they were following the seasons. Yeah,
that's true. There was definitely
the opening
a
scene
of
in the
time.
Civil War was filmed last, but that's it.
Oh, sure.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I guess they had to paint the trees to make it look like a different time of year. I don't know why it mattered what time of year it was supposed to be.
It's the fucking Civil War. I guess they needed the continuity of, like, by the time he gets out to Fort Hayes, it's like spring or some shit.
But imagine being the guy painting the tree just being like, fucking Kevin Costner. Yeah, right? Like, what am I doing with my life?
But then he looks...
The dreams is making me paint goddamn trees.
But then he looks directly at the camera and says... It's a living.
Yep. Mm-hmm. In the director's cut of this, where it's about making the movie. Yeah, okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Cool. The making of the movie is part of the movie that is the movie.
Like Spice World, yeah.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh. One more thing that I thought was very funny.
One more thing.
My cousin told me.
My cousin told me that you murdered your friend. Just one more thing. The bloodstain.
It was very strange.
Now, interesting, Seth. You were slipping into Woody Allen there.
I know. I was, okay. Which is not good. That's a bad thing because he's a monster.
So Graham Greene got nominated for Best Supporting Actor. This is Pesci won. This is one of the awards that Goodfellas did win.
Sure.
Famously gives his like very short acceptance speech. This is unexpected. Thank you. Okay. Anyway, Graham Greene.
That's
nominated,
pretty cool.
Yeah, it was pretty cool.
Be weird
Graham
if he tore up a picture of Sinead O'Connor again.
Oh, I remember that. Yeah.
Ooh. Yeah.
Graham Greene nominated, doesn't win. Graham Greene, of course, is a very common recurring actor on The Red Green Show.
Interesting.
Some point, apparently, I read this. I didn't remember this. I don't know if I've seen this episode. Doesn't matter.
There's so many. But yeah.
Oh, yeah. At some point on an episode, the movie Dances with Wolves comes up, and he is there, and he goes, I thought that native fella should have won the Oscar for that one.
Well, that's
wonderful.
Great.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's yeah. Red Green was a very good show. As I recall,
fucking love the Red Green
I haven't seen it in years, but I remember it being very good.
Yeah.
My
dad
women
and
don't find you handsome, they could at least find you handy.
That's exactly
that's the Red Green sign off.
Yeah. My dad and I would watch that together on PBS.
Fucking love Red Green.
Wholesome.
Yeah. Should we just cancel the podcast and make a Red Green podcast?
I've never seen a single episode. So
like your Wings show that you
Fly Boys.
To make? Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Wow, it's been a while.
I think I've more recently brought up the Hellraiser themed spinoff Flayboys than I have Flyboys.
I'm psyched about that.
Seth,
one.
You're editing. You should put the drop the Flayboys theme music.
I don't know where the fuck that is.
I'll send it to you.
Seth,
I have it on my computer.
You're editing and I want to play, so can you put Natalie Imbruglia's Corn in here as well?
I forgot I did that.
Sure, if you said it to me, because I don't know where the fuck any of those things are.
Oh, I've got both of them on my computer, baby.
And I mean this, it will live on the desktop of whatever computer I own until we all get turned into Tesla Cybertrucks. Yep.
And then it'll just be beeping on your, like... LED faceplate in binary.
Yep.
Like,
because it's like a Y2K thing, and it was like, well, we don't recognize timestamp creation on files that are from this far back in the past. Yeah,
the robots get confused, then y'all sing it together,
and somehow you a tear forms in the corner of your
it does.
Of your robotic faceplate. Yep. Yeah.
Yep. Except it's made of oil.
Well,
no. Oh. It's an actual tear.
How did he store
Elon
that much Mad water?
It turns out we've been in the animatrix the whole time.
Oh, no.
God,
I'm anime style, and I have a samurai sword. Jesus Christ. Okay.
So what's this episode about?
It's a dance.
Is Zach faking a movie this week?
I love these episodes. These are great.
We haven't met very recently, so.
That's true. We got to do rates for this. What's the IMDb's?
All right, so the IMDb with...
I'm going to guess 247,000
votes. It's 289,000 votes.
That's got to be among the top that we've ever done. Yeah.
And it has a orthogonally shifted infinity sign.
Oh, just a straight eight? Okay.
Yeah.
That's high.
I truly had no idea what you were talking about.
Leave the math to us, Tesla Cybertrucks, Lee. It's fine.
Yeah, it's got an 8.
That's up there. That's way up there.
That's pretty high. I don't think it deserves an 8, but yeah.
Sure.
Also, Zach, you kept referring to Mary McDonnell as the president from Battlestar, and I kept thinking, yeah, she's the president of Independence Day, and I never clicked that she's both.
She's
not the president. She's the first lady.
She's the first lady, but sort of takes over for the president when he's just...
No, she dies in
In that helicopter accident.
Right. Yeah.
In Battlestar, she's like the Secretary of Education, but they go the full way down the line of succession until they get to her.
Right, right, right. Like, she's the last one living.
Zoinks, I guess I'm the president.
Right, right. No more Mr. Nice Gaius Baltar.
He is one of the truly hateable characters in history,
You know what show I don't like?
Battlestar?
Battlestar Galactica.
That's fair.
I tried. I think watched a lot whole of season don't. Of it. I don't like it.
Hey, you know what you should try? Babylon 5.
We can't. A lot
of puppets and wigs in that
show. Oh, yeah. And a lot of the worst CGI for like 1999 that you will have ever seen.
Mm. Yeah.
It's so bad. It's like astoundingly bad, and I love it.
Also, I'm so glad I pointed out to you that it was on Tubi.
Yeah, it's on Tubi. I watch that and Columbo almost every day.
Are you doing all right, bud? You want to talk about this?
No.
None of us are doing all right. Are you fucking kidding me? Like,
I know.
Yeah. But you two aren't watching like back-to-back episodes of Battlestar or Babylon 5 and Columbo.
That is a breakneck tonal shift.
Yeah.
Well, Columbo is for the down low, like for coming down. The Babylon 5 is for kind of mid.
Okay.
Because it's not very action oriented, and also the CGI is the worst thing that you've ever seen. It's good to make fun of. In my own mind, to myself. Anyway,
mostly I've been reading books that create the feeling that I can only describe as. I'm that guy from The Crucible with rocks being put on my chest.
Oh, Giles Corey.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what I've been consuming lately.
Seems bad.
I've been reading a lot of fantasy stuff, like not high fantasy, but sort of.
Oh, like
Patrick Rothfuss.
Books about, not, damn it, I'm trying to make a joke.
Oh, sorry.
Not books about Mariah Carey. And then when you said high fantasy, I would say not books about Mariah Carey smoking weed.
Yeah, that's good. I like it.
sweet
Patrick Rothfuss did baby. Memory Called Empire?
No.
That's Arcadi Martin.
What a cool
he
name.
Did,
Rothfuss is the name
of the
wind.
Right. You've talked about this in the past. I have it on my phone to listen to it.
Yeah, he's never going to finish.
No, so he's not. It sucks. Oh, sure. I'm currently reading one of the interim stories, the newest
one.
Is
it the one about Bast? I didn't like it.
Yeah, I'm about 30 pages in, so.
Okay. Hey, let's rate this fucking movie.
So I'll go first. For the original Dances with Wolves.
Sweet fantasy baby.
There's a really good version of that by a guy named Owen Pallett, where it's all like he basically has a bunch of pedals and he keeps recording himself and it loops in on itself. It's very good. Very good stuff.
I liked it better when it was the song that it sampled from, Genius of Love by the Tom Tom Club.
Who's that character? And can we never meet him again? I did not care for that.
Oh. I don't know who that character is, but he has a really expensive record player.
Clearly.
I bet, unlike me, I bet that guy likes the sample from that Men in Black song, Bring Me Forget Me Nots.
Forget Me Nots.
Oh, God, he's back. Oh, my dreams.
Anyway, Original Dances with Wolves. It's pretty, but it kind of sucks.
Original Dances with Wolves, yeah. Unlike the remake.
Well, to be fair, Lee, you didn't watch the original Dances with Wolves, so.
All right, that's interesting.
Yeah, this is the OG. That song, terrible. Bring Me Forget Me Nots, from...
Jesus, God in heaven.
All right. I don't know. I'm going to give it like a 7. It's actually, it's fine. It's pretty good.
Sure.
For Zach, for your death metal, cool sojourn. I feel like you could do a lot of fun things with that. So, and it can get either real dark or real like in the middle. I don't know. I think I'd enjoy it. So I'm going to give you an 8.
Hey.
So, death metal cool soda. I know you said Sojourn, but it sounds a little like soda. Would it be caraway flavored?
Oh, fuck yeah, I'd drink that.
Huh.
Hell yeah.
Something, caraway something that not and black a lot licorice, of
people,
maybe?
Oh, yeah. Something that not a lot of people like, but the people that do like it are, like, evangelical about it.
People who do like it are me and Zach.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Like, it's yeah. hella bitter and an anisette of some nature. Yeah. yeah. Uh-huh.
Zach, you're a Disney adult. Have you ever had, Beverly?
I have had most of the weird Coke products in the Coke at Epcot, but I don't recall a lot of them. It's
like
been a while.
Thumbs Up?
Probably. Yeah.
Thumbs Up is the one from India, generally, and I do not like it.
Yeah, I've had that one. That one was weird. There's one from Africa that was, like, inscrutable. Like, I felt like I was tasting colors or something. It was very weird. Yeah.
I used to buy Thumbs Up at a market. Next to the coffee shop I went to in college, so
I'm gonna have to look this up because, as you know, I am a fan of drinking sodas that I don't understand.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Absolutely.
Well, the one that I keep reading about is Beverly, which just sounds like an aperitif, but like a soda. And
yeah, a lot of them were kind of that. It was like Amaro, but without booze in it, kind of thing. And
yeah,
like not mad about that. Yeah,
that's just what I do.
Yeah,
that's just my life.
Yeah, agreed. Yeah,
yeah. All right, real movie. Dances with Wolves.
Director's cut, quote unquote.
Director's cut, no subtitle version. I did I did it on expert mode.
You did. You really did. Yeah.
So I think truly, like, this needs to have an asterisk next to it, but 6,
sure,
like, yeah, you know,
I like the language work, though. That's why it got so high for me, is a lot of it is in another language and everybody seems to be able to do that.
Yeah
and it turns out that people can deal with movies that have subtitles.
Jesus Christ, right?
Like, yeah,
yeah.
Anyway. If you just have it well acted, then it's okay.
Yeah,
or if you can read, like, yeah, it's fine either way. Yeah.
Just pay attention. Anyway, I refuse. Yeah. So, like, asterisks because, but also it's like, it's kind of formulaic.
If it is. Like, it is. Really, and it is a white savior sort of situation. And
yeah. I feel like this could be a lot worse.
As much as it's, like, not a great way to put, but it's a noble savage trope sort of thing going on, too.
Yeah. I feel like, you know, 35-ish years ago now, this would have been unfortunately kind of groundbreaking because, like you said, he was portraying native folks in a way that maybe they hadn't been super portrayed.
Yeah, but only
before.
Half of them, right? Because still, I guess, the Pawnees. Evil, vicious Pawnee.
And now, you know, now this would be the exact opposite thing where it's like, Jesus Christ, what the fuck are we doing here?
Yeah, which is, I'm not super enthused about the Costner's new Westerns coming out because I just assume no Bwayne.
Yeah.
which is weird because his other Western, Open Range, fucking rips. It rips shitties.
You did say that it's pulling donuts in the parking lot outside of a Target at 3 a.m.
in your IROC. Why is Kevin Costner in an IROC?
And the thing is, your brother is a cop, so it's you can do whatever you fucking want.
The cops show up and you just wave at him, go, "Sup, Danny?" And everybody's like, "Holy shit!" Yeah, that's pretty cool. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that's pretty cool.
Zach's movie was fucking dope. 9.
Hey, love to see it.
All right.
Perfect. Love it. All right. So next time we're having Street Team Chaboy Kev's back on. He's going to live deliciously with something. We haven't figured it out yet, but
it'll be delicious, though.
Lots
one
of
can assume
flavors.
It's Final Fantasy related, I guess.
Well, no, we do that to you.
Yeah, dude.
I don't know how we do that to Kev.
Don't you know the formula?
Yeah. I mean, we'll get one of those eventually, but like, not this time.
I honestly think you might have to wait for them to make another one.
I have one or two things up my sleeve, you dumb bitch.
We're going to call a guy and be like, I can't really explain why, but you have to make more of these movies. You just
call up Ben Affleck to be that one guy again.
All right.
Yeah, he was the model for, I don't know, one of the guys in one of the movies.
But he didn't do the voice.
Yeah.
Boston.
Oh boy, we gotta get out of here. We gotta...
it's been a while. Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. Well, yeah.
There's
watch
a
with
wolf.
The subtitles on, I guess.
Yeah.
No, I think we should cut it. At, yep.
That's good probably
point.
Good.
Good point. Good I point. Like it. And that's the cut.
Damn it! Now you're just gonna keep and up to, and that's the cut. This is what always happens.
And that's the cut.